Have you ever wondered if your company is maximizing the return of your data investment? Are you collecting the right data required to make informed decisions? Is there more that can be learned from our data? Coyus Institute can answer these questions and help you discover the hidden value within your data sets by utilizing a well-rounded approach to data analysis. Stop leaving value behind and start increasing the return on your data investment. The next generation of data analysis has begun. We are pioneers in pattern discovery. We are Coyus Institute.
Tell me, what's going on? What are we working on?
Well, you know what we're working on, Tim. We're just slowly chipping away at the concrete block of UFO secrecy and trying to figure out what the hell is going on inside the government and what is going on inside Congress and the Senate. And, you know, Tim, you've got to love the efficiency displayed by the U.S. Air Force in getting this high-resolution video of a Reaper drone getting jostled by a Russian jet out into the media. And yet somehow we still don't have any information on whatever the hell was apparently disengaged over Alaska. Are we going to get answers, do you think, regarding these recent so-called shootdowns?
Yeah, I think you noticed that short answer is no. I don't think we'll get a truthful answer unless, of course, it's some, you know, hot air balloon escape from some used car lot. But I think one of the interesting things was, I don't know if you saw that recently, the Pentagon put something out on a mothership. There's a mothership, and it was these UFOs that we're seeing or from it or something. Here's my thought on that that we have, they know the public wants it, and the Pentagon is a money-driven machine. It is, Eisenhower talked about it being in the industrial, whatever, I call it the industrial war complex, military industrial complex is what they call it, but I call it the industrial war complex. They need wars, and they need to spend that money and that to survive and or to get that money, and that's what they're doing here, brother. I think what they've done is they're putting this thing out, and so people are like, yeah, and all the UFO community say, finally, and all they're doing is chasing dollars. And they'll run that thing down a rabbit hole. NASA will be studying it. The Pentagon will be studying it. The Space Force will be studying it. Everybody's going to be studying it, and that's going to cost dollars.
Right.
And I think that's what's behind it. I hate being the doggy downer all the time, but I just, they've been lying to us since 1947. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, wow, there's UFOs. We've got them. We've got them on tape. We've had them on tape for years. I still think we've got a craft somewhere. And, you know, there's a group going to take a towdale to Area 51, and some people said, I don't care. There's not anything at Area 51. It's at Wright Patterson. And if we go there, they're not going to let us go everywhere we want to go, or we wouldn't know where to look to ask. So I just don't trust them. I don't trust them. I think they're lying to us again. And it's just a way to get funding. By giving it legitimacy, I think people are getting fed up with these endless wars.
Right.
They're going to have to get a new cash cow.
A new funding mechanism needs to be put in place. Yeah, I think a lot of people in the research field feel this way in terms of the fact that it feels like a new type of cover-up. It's a different type of cover-up. Instead of a full denial and instead of just ignoring it, what they're doing is they're going, oh, actually, you know what? There are some weird things flying around. We should probably figure that out. Thing is, they've been figuring that out for about 70 years or more than 70 years. So it's this idea. It's almost like they're trying to present the idea that they've only just discovered it. And, oh, no, we agree with you now. We should definitely look into this. We should take it seriously. And I feel like that is another cover-up, because essentially what you're doing is you're getting all of these people in Congress and the Senate to believe that there is a genuine objective study happening, when in reality, a lot of this is way back down in the history. There may be legacy programs and special access programs, and it's very difficult to try and get a bit of honesty out of these guys. And I do worry about it. If you had to hedge your bets on what was happening with the Alaska and the Canada shootdowns, What do you think was going on? There were conflicting reports. I heard some early claims of it being cylindrical in shape, that it was loitering. There's been no video, there's been no photo. I mean, what do you think? What's your gut telling you?
My gut's telling me the first one, of course, was Chinese. The second, third, and possibly the fourth one were man-made. And the one that Canada had to shoot down, they shot it down purely political. I mean, this guy, as big as a peace advocate or whatever he is, I don't know if peace advocate probably in the right word. He's not much. He saw the politics of it, and he said, shoot that thing down now. I don't need to get the heat Biden's getting. And I think those type of balloons are always up there, and they went after them because it was good politics to do it. They didn't respond to the first one, which this isn't really a political site per se, but I think we've been compromised by the communist Chinese. And that's why we didn't shoot the original balloon down. It transversed the entire continental United States.
Right.
And we had the head of the CIA, the man who was the head of the CIA, his son's in Congress with me, and I know him. And he was head of the CIA under Obama, and he was Obama's chief of staff. He said he would have shot it down over the Aleutian Islands before it even got into Alaska. So I think we got a real problem. That's a different issue, the Chinese. But I think those two, three, and four, I think they were probably man-made. One of them, there's a question about, but I think that I've talked to some people that would know, and they think that as well. But I just don't think something's going to travel thousands of light years and that we're going to be able to knock it down.
Yeah.
We might be able to knock it down with something electronic because I just don't understand their technology. But being able to fly at those speeds, I would just think that it would have a blocking device or a cloaking device or something else. So I just don't buy it.
Yeah, it's a good argument, and it's been the argument for a lot of different cases of apparent crashes. You know, why are they crashing? If these are hyper advanced interstellar vehicles, why would they crash? And for me, I only really have two, logical explanations for that. One is that we're disengaging them and we have some form of exotic weaponry, some sort of electromagnetic weaponry. I'm not 100% sure. The second is that they're actually not crashing, and it's more like a technological breadcrumb trail, and they're actually leaving these things for us to find, figure out, discover, and slowly piece the pieces of the puzzle together. So I'm not 100% sure where I sit on either of those, but I feel like it has to be one of those two, because the idea of them accidentally crashing a hyper-advanced spacecraft seems very, very unlikely to me.
Yeah, I was told by somebody that was whose father was at Roswell in the Army Air Corps, that it was a mid-air collision,
right,
between two extraterrestrial type crafts, and so that's I've sort of come under that belief, but I don't know. I just don't know. I think that's where we recovered something, though. I think that's the one.
Oh, me too. 100%. Me too. I mean, absolutely.
The military intelligence comes out and all across the board says we recovered a saucer.
Yeah.
And the next day, poor Lieutenant Colonel, his name escapes me right now on the paper. You know, he's holding the
tin foil, the little bit of tin foil. Yeah.
Tin foil up, and it's like, no, that ain't happening.
No.
Somebody's even gone as far as there's a piece of paper he had in his hand, and they've taken the words. And it basically just says, make sure we hoax these people or something, whole deal. But I think there's been others. But
yeah.
I just don't. I think too, you could have competing interests out of this world. I think if there's one, there's more.
Right.
You see one termite in your house, you better realize you got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And you see one extraterrestrial craft, now all of a sudden these pilots are telling me they're seeing them on a regular basis. And so and that they have been for quite some time. So it's, there's a lot more going on here than we're being told. And I mean, I've just looked too many pilots in the eye that have nothing to gain from telling somebody that could drag them in front of a committee and possibly ruin their careers. You know, I mean, it's just, there's just too much out there. And like I said, until somebody walks out of one of those labs with a video of a craft or a something, you know, that piece of foil that they walk out and throw down on the ground and it pops back out to its original state, you know, some sort of fluid metal, I don't think you're going to see much happen. I mean, it's just going to be this trickle effect, and that's what they're doing to get interest in Congress. So people will, these UFO folks, and they're very persistent, and they're good folks. I mean, I go to church with some of them, and they, every time I'm on the internet, somebody says, when we had the UA, oh, and I do want to tell you, I spoke with Chairman Comer of Oversight. Right now, we're in the middle of a million oversight. They had 8 hearings one way. This guy's just he's a workhorse, Comer, and he's out of Kentucky. And I went to him, me and Luna, she's from Florida, I believe, and she's former Air Force. She's a big UFO person as well. And I went to Comer, and I said, I'd like to have a hearing on this. And he said, you have to get approval for the speaker. I went and saw McCarthy, and he gave me his word. We're going to have a hearing. So we're going to ask some tough questions. We're going to have the top people in the world there, and it's going to be good. And we'll make sure, I'll let you know.
Yeah, no, I saw you make a couple of statements about this on Newsmax, about having hearings, about speaking with Kevin McCarthy, and, you know, handling this through the Oversight Committee. And I agree with you. We need to ask tough questions. I'd like to know what tough questions on this subject sound like to you, because this is one of the issues I think we have with the government approach to this. It's that the vast majority of folks in government don't have a clue how deep this goes. They don't understand just how much secrecy has occurred since before most of us were even born by the military-industrial intelligence complex. You know, the waters run very deep, which means Congress and the Senate need to be matching that depth with their investigations, with their questioning. Otherwise, the powers that oversee this issue are just going to let their own narrative run riot, and it will be a new type of cover-up. So what are the tough questions in your mind?
Well, I'm not going to tell you everything, because they monitor this stuff, and their thing now is, you know, I'm sure they'll want to discredit me, but I got news for them. I discredit myself enough. I don't have to worry about, I don't need outside influence. But we're going to ask where, when, why. We've got some documentation, some people that we've been fortunate enough to get, and some up Freedom of Information.
Yeah,
they've heavily redacted, and we're going to find out why that's redacted and why. But the people we bring in are going to help us, really, I think, more than anything else, because they'll be out from under that cloak of secrecy or evil or whatever you want to call it within our government that is protecting it. And I think, too, we need to put forth the theory that what's going on right now, it's, you know, with the Pentagon and all, and why they're doing this. I want people to know they're doing this. They're trying to get tax dollars. And why in the world we got 3 different people studying the same thing, 3 different groups, and why the Pentagon has assigned 2 gentlemen to it that can't even spell UFO. You know, they don't have a clue, and they don't have a clue. And you know, they're just career bureaucrats. They're probably patriotic men, but they're not. Yeah, it's just not happening.
Interesting. Isn't one of them is Sean Kirkpatrick? Is that right, Sean Kirkpatrick?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
I found out something interesting about him the other day, Tim. So Sean Kirkpatrick was sitting on, he was either on the board or he was heavily involved with Science Applications International Corporation at the same time that Admiral Bobby Ray Inman was the director of Science Applications International Corporation, which is one of the highest in terms of suspected think tank kind of black budget institutes for handling this kind of material. And I mean, I got Admiral Bobby Ray Inman on the record. I don't know if you saw that interview, but I did challenge him. about his involvement, and Bob Exler, the NASA mission specialist who got him on record in the 80s, basically admitting the crash retrieval programs are real. I mean, this guy literally got Admiral Bobby Ray Inman to say on a phone call that he doesn't know if this will ever come out, but maybe it will. So there was a clear admission. And Sean Kirkpatrick was actually working alongside Admiral Bobby Ray Inman at a very interesting place, SAIC. So I don't know if that's something to keep notes of. He might have a little bit more of a portfolio on this issue than we currently are aware of.
Hey, I'm writing his name down now, brother.
And yep. Yeah, definitely something to keep note of. I know you were recently invited to take part in a classified briefing that was out in Florida, right?
Correct.
Is there anything you can say about it? I know we've heard a few things about heat signatures. And
yeah, I think Matt said most of it. Matt just said that, he became aware of a craft that, at least in his mind and anybody else he's talked to, didn't exist. It did not exist. And its heat signature was on the bottom of it. It was bell or a compressed saucer type situation. And it had some particular things on it that, I'm not sure. I just don't know. I don't know. We talked to the pilots, and they described what they saw. And I won't tell you what it was, but I leaned over to Matt. You know what a spook is, right? They're CIA operative, whatever. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I've been to meet one of them.
A pilot said something, it was sort of one of those. After he said it, I could tell he thought, "Dadgum, I shouldn't have said that." And then I leaned over to Matt and I said, "Looks like the spook is getting nervous." And he looked up and said, "Yeah, they said something that they shouldn't have." And but we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Every day you get. I used to, when I sold insurance, I called it the Rule of 17, which I just made up. But it was, you get 17 no's or 16 no's, and that 17 might be your yes. On a sale, a big insurance policy. So, we just got to keep going down this path, man. And you and I are going to keep talking. I was told. I was a guy I used to work with called me. He called me, and I was out of town, and I thought something was wrong. I hadn't talked to him in a while. He was an older gentleman, and probably close to 80. And he called me Timbo. Timbo? And I knew who it was. I said, "Hey," and I called him by his name. And he said, him and the wife, he gave his wife's name, and just saw me on that. Just saw ancient aliens. And I thought, well, here it comes. He's going to hit me with the little green man and, getting abducted and probed and all this stuff. And he goes, "I've never told you this story before." I never told anybody this story except his wife. And he hollered back to her. He said, "What year was that, honey?" I thought she said it was late 50s. And he'd been in the Navy. And he was on a ship, a tin can. I believe that's a destroyer. And they were out in the middle of the ocean, and a sub came up, and they were meeting one somewhere, and they said that sub went down, and they watched it fire a missile. They said it was probably one of the first sub underwater missile firings that had happened, because this was, it's not something that we've been doing since the Second World War. Anyway, so he said, after all that, they saw it and they thought, "Wow, this is wild," And then, and they were getting ready to go about their activities. And he said that this huge craft, he said, he described it to me. He said, "The other thing was two city blocks." He's a country boy, but he said it was two city blocks and it hovered over them, no noise. And he described it as it pulled up. He said you could see like something similar to portals or something on the around it. And it was the classic craft that you would, the saucer thing.
A saucer shape, yeah.
And then he said it was like that. It just disappeared. No noise, no nothing. And they were just
this
like,
was back in the 1950s.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? You know, and then when they got back to port, wherever this was, he said they were met, these three gentlemen in suits, you know, the men in black.
Of course, yeah, of course, yeah.
Secret Service, not Secret Service, CIA or one of those military intelligence groups, basically debriefed them and told them, you didn't see anything. This is national security. This is, you did not see anything. And it was, you were never to repeat it, or you could be brought it, put in prison. And, you know, and that's, people honored that stuff back then.
Yeah.
And they believed, because they believed the government.
Yeah.
They don't now for good reason.
Did this come out? Did it come out of the water?
No. He said because he told me, you know, the old guys will tell you, my mom and daddy were like this before they died. And I don't know how your mom is. You know, you ask them what time it is, and they'll tell you how to make a watch. You know, they give you the whole, all the scenario that was going on around them. And I was like, I thought this sub was going to, you know, when he shot the missile, I thought he was going to say it hit a UFO or something, but it wasn't anything like that. And, you know, and I've heard similar stories. I mean, there's no reason for him to tell me that story. He called me out of the blue. And I was, and it was just a, and the detail and the, you know, he's hollered to his wife, honey, what year was that I told you? And she, I could hear her hollering back to him. So, I mean, you know, all that kind of thing. When somebody's lying to you, you know, they're reading you a script. And I worry about some of these spooks too. They bring that information in. So they're going to, Tim Burchett, did you hear that crazy story he told? You know, one they just make up.
Yeah.
So, and that's something, but I get those all the time, brother. And this is somebody I've known for 30 years. His family is, I'm close to his family, and they've been supporters of mine almost from day one. Yeah, and there's no reason. You know, you hear these astronauts tell these stories, and we're still in denial about it. The government in some circles. I mean, you got, what's his name? Gordon Cooper.
Yeah, I was about to say, you had Gordon Cooper literally saying a UFO landed on a dry lake bed and they recorded this.
Yeah, and that landing craft came out.
Yeah.
This is
an astronaut. This is a national hero. And
this guy, yeah, he never would have to buy a beer his entire life. He'd walk into any bar, man, you're Gordo Cooper. Can I buy you a beer? Yeah, sure. I hear you. Take your car. I mean, you know, And why would he have to ingratiate, or whatever the term is, his reputation? Why would he have to say anything other than man, I was an Apollo astronaut back when it was badass, you know, back when
it's not like that.
Fire pilot.
You don't need to show off any more than saying I'm a NASA astronaut. You don't need to add anything to that. So no, I agree with you, brother. I mean, I just see no reason for these people to be lying about this whatsoever. And so, I mean, you know, and we know this has been going on a long time. It is real. There is a very, very real situation happening. And, you know, we want to see people getting to the bottom of it. Do you feel that the intel that was provided to you during this briefing represented the necessary level of national security to kind of merit it being classified? Or would you dispute the need for this particular briefing to actually be classified?
Well, if it hadn't been for Matt Gaetz, we wouldn't have been briefed on it, because they turned us away. We got down there and then they started briefing us on something that was very important. But the part that we flew down there, they were not going to allow it to happen.
Oh, really? And then
I said, you know, we're going to get down there and they're just going to either lie to us, tell some bogus deal, or we're not going to get it. And he said, and there was two biggest dogs bumping chess, and call was made to Washington, and then Washington called down there and said, give them the information.
How long was the briefing, roughly?
I don't know, maybe an hour for the first one, and then, you know, then we had to leave because they were trying to scramble. They didn't think we'd could pull any weight. There's a new game in town. Republicans are in power.
Right.
And, you know, all I'm talking about is cutting the budget. I'm gonna be cutting that Pentagon budget.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. Can't imagine the Pentagon folks are very happy to talk to you.
They don't want to. They're not going to talk to me. They, you know, 435 of us. They don't need me. They, you know, you'll see when I get close to the target, they'll start. Somebody will start sniping at me. They'll bring my third grade best friend out or girlfriend out and say that, you know, I pulled her hair on the playground or something. And but that's the way they do. They destroy people, man. This is the real deal. I don't think people realize that it is the real deal. And, you know, and they put garbage out in the movies and stuff like that to say, you know, oh, they don't do that. You know, people like that are all crazy when they talk about it. And then, I mean, that's kind of the perception, and I'm okay with it. But I've made a career out of people underestimating me.
I mean, you seem like such a laid-back guy, Tim. How do you deal with it, man? How do you deal with the bureaucracy and all the bullshit? Because you seem like such a genuine dude. I feel like you must get so frustrated.
Thank you. I don't know if you can see it or not, but that right there, that's my mama during the Second World War. She flew an airplane, dude. And that, here's my daddy. I pictures of him elsewhere, but that's daddy right there. That's with mama. That was when I was a young study rep, and they were both 11. But they instilled in me some pretty tough values. And, I mean, you know, daddy didn't have to go fight the Japanese. He was too smart. He was smart. And the Marine Corps sent daddy to Georgia Tech to become an officer. He's afraid he's going to miss the war, so he just didn't take his midterm exams, failed himself out. And then and he was on two invasions, Okinawa, Peleliu and Okinawa. He was on Okinawa, and they dropped the bomb on Japan because they thought they were going to have to go into Japan. And then he went to China and fought the communists. Then he went to the University of Tennessee and fought the communists over there for 40 years. And then, of course, Mama lost her oldest brother, excuse me, fighting the Nazis, and so she did her part, flying an airplane. And I got a cool wife and a beautiful little girl. Married my wife. My wife was a widow, and I adopted her little girl. Man, I worry about our world. And if we quit fighting, I was the last House member to leave the House floor on January 6th during the riots. I mean, I just, you know, not the biggest one up there, but we're ready to fight, and we got to. We got to fight for this world. We got to. Those powers that be are evil, man. They're evil. And it's like these cartels down in Mexico. I was just on the border. You know, a lot of them are getting out of the drug business, and they're selling people. They're making $30 million a month.
Yeah.
Bringing people in. It's not just prostitution, it's slave labor and things like that. I mean, they're just evil in this world, dude. We just got to fight it. You cannot give up. You can't give up every day. I tell you, I'm a Christian, not a very good one. I pray every day. I say, Lord, just get me through this day. And some days I pray in Congress, just get me through this next hour, Lord. And he does. But, you know, we got to keep fighting. And this UFO issue is part about what it's all about. Because the secrecy and the arrogance of this bunch is what it's about money, obviously, and power somehow. They either got the technology and don't want us to have it, and these corporations are trying to get it out, and the arrogance of this bunch. You know, they won't even let you know. They won't even release the Kennedy files. So I have no faith in any of it. And I know people say, well, you're in government. You're saying that about yourself. I say, well, hell yes, I am. I'm saying it about the whole system. And we just got to keep fighting, dude. So,
yeah,
that's it. I didn't mean to get off on any preaching. I apologize.
No, it's, I agree with you, bro. I agree with you. And I think that, you know, it's the UFO subject. It's one facet. It's one little symptom. There's so much going on, so much corruption, so much bad handling of money and power and influence and resources and foreign policy and all of it. So we're in a very interesting time. You know, it's very chaotic. There's also good things happening, and there's amazing technological advancements, and it's just an interesting time. I get the sense that we're almost kind of on the precipice of shifting into a next stage of humanity. And I think when that happens, things look very chaotic. It's a bit like in your own personal life, if you're kind of getting to a point where you need to change, things kind of collapse around you, don't they? Everything starts collapsing around you and you're like, oh my God, why is this happening? And then you realize, oh, this was necessary chaos. This was necessary destruction. So I'm kind of staying optimistic in saying that all of the wildness right now, it's part of a process, and people like you are part of that process by trying to keep it honest and trying to get us into a new perspective with this stuff. So I appreciate
that all. Maybe you ought to start a cult.
Yeah, maybe, right? Yeah, we don't have enough cults around right now, do we, Tim?
No, they're kind of thin, really.
Yeah. No, for real though, I always appreciate catching up with you, and you know, just keep knocking down the doors, brother. Keep knocking down the doors.
All right, brother. God bless you, and take care of your sweet mom. All right, man. When they're gone, they're gone.
Yes, sir. All right. Take care of yourself,
brother. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, man.